morning. It's good to be back with you all on this Trinity Sunday and Father's Day. I have two announcements to share with you this morning. The first is just to remind the deacons that we are not having a meeting this coming Sunday. We decided to take June off because of summer and vacations, so don't plan to stay next Sunday after worship. The second announcement is at Mount Nebo, my other church, they are having their annual Strawberry Festival and Classic Car Cruise on Saturday from 4 to 7. So if you are looking for something to do and or you are just curious what my other church is like, this is a great opportunity for you to come and see. I think we're selling some food. There'll be a basket raffle and then the cars will be outside. It's really fun. They look forward to putting this together every year. So if you're able to come, please plan to. Our address is 1828 Roosevelt Road in Swickley. Or just Google Mount Nebo Church. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, let us begin worship with our call to worship. Gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and blessed by God, let all who come to worship one holy God. O God, our own God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. Let all your majesty is the music of the starry skies. Yet even children of dust can sing your praises. In the name of the healer, the provider, and the enabler, let your gratitude and joy be made known. Let all, O God, our own God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, God Has Spoken by the Prophets, the lyrics of which will be on the screens. Join with me for our prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. God's life-giving word and spirit conquer the powers of sin and death. Thanks be to God for the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Say together the words of our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, having been reconciled to God in Jesus, let us show signs of that reconciliation to one another by greeting one another in faith. Let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choir's anthem.
Thank you. We have a number of prayer and praise requests today. First is from Kathy Sagey for her sister Patty Dremetsky. She's having lumbar back surgery on Monday. Prayers for God's guidance with the surgery, surgeon and staff, and also a quick and successful recovery. Surgery is going to be on Monday at Passament. She'll be overnight. Another prayer request from Kathy Sagey for her uncle, Jack Wren. After being in intensive care for 7 weeks, he's now in rehab and will be coming home in 2 weeks. Thanks for all those who prayed for him. And then we have a prayer and praise request from John and Carol Kane. Prayer request is prayers and safe travels for her granddaughter, Skylar, and the Dorseyville Middle School French Club as they travel to Quebec. And a praise request for all the dads, granddads, and great-granddads in all our lives. Absolutely true. You know, we're thankful for all the love, comfort, and guidance that all the fathers give to their families. And finally, a praise request to have Rebecca back with us. I hope she had a wonderful trip and is renewed from that travel.
I have two additional prayer requests to add to the list. Lynn Love has asked us to pray for Dave Maxwell. He had a stroke a couple days ago, and there's probably some paralysis. So just pray for Dave that he recovers well. The additional prayer request is for my family. My grandmother was moved to hospice care on Friday, and she's probably not going to be with us that much longer. So pray for her, and also pray for my family. This is my dad's side of the family, and this is the first kind of major impending death in our family, and you know, that's stressful and hard, but it's especially stressful and hard if you've never done it before. So just keep our family in your prayers. I'll keep you all updated as things unfold. Check the list. I think that's everything. Thank you all. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of meditation, Father, I Adore You. The lyrics will be on the screen. Seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, on this Trinity Sunday, We thank you for Father, Son, and Spirit. We thank you for the way that they reveal who you are to us. By the mercy of Christ our Lord, we come before you today with our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, today we lift up to you Dave and Patty. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. We thank you that Jack is doing better and that he's in rehab. We pray that you'd be with him as he completes his rehab and also as he heads home. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that Skylar's French Club is able to travel to Quebec. We pray that you would be with them as they journey there and home. Grant them safe passage. Lord, we thank you for opportunities in our congregation to travel. Thank you that I am back and had a great trip and returned safely. But we also lift up to you everyone who will be traveling this week and over the summer. Lord, on this Father's Day, we give you thanks and praise for the fathers in our lives, for the grandfathers and uncles, and the men who have mentored and taught us along the way. Lord, we thank you for their courage and their sacrifice, and for their dedication to making sure that we turned out to be decent human beings. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Holy God, you sent your Son to be baptized amongst sinners, to seek and to save the lost. May we who have been baptized in his name never turn away from the world. This we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. Thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is Romans 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Praise the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to begin our time together this morning by singing for you one of the songs that I learned when I was at Taizé this past week. The song is originally written in French, so the first time through I'm going to sing it in French, and then I'll sing it in English. So it goes like this. Taizé le Christ, lumière intérieure, ne laissez pas mes ténèbres m'y parler. Taizé le Christ, lumière intérieure, donnez-moi d'éclairer ton amour. Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines within us. Let not my doubt nor my darkness speak to me. Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines within us. Let my heart always welcome your love. Last week, I had the privilege of traveling to Taizé, France, a monastery in the north of France. For those of you who don't know, Taizé is an ecumenical, meaning that people worship there who are Catholic, all different kinds of Protestant, and also Orthodox. The community is also multicultural, meaning people worship there from all over the world. And in worship, we sing something like 10 different languages in one service. Since I traveled to Taizé during the last week of Easter, so the week before Pentecost, the new song that we learned this week was Taizé le Christ, or Lord Jesus Christ. We sing this song during Easter time because it's a song of assurance that the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus. It's also a song of hope in the midst of darkness. Yes, we are going to experience doubt and darkness, but we will not despair because we know that because of Easter, Jesus is with us always. During my week in Taizé, I spent a lot of time thinking and praying and meditating about doubt and darkness. On the second day of our stay, the community turned over evidence of 5 cases of sexual assault committed by 3 brothers to French authorities. The assaults occurred between 1950 and 1980, and they all involved youth. 2 of the 3 accused brothers passed away a long time ago, but one of the brothers is still living, and he's still a part of the community. This living brother is very old, and he can't care for himself anymore. All of the brothers took vows of simplicity and poverty, so this brother doesn't have a pension or a savings account or even family that can care for him. The brothers shared this evidence with French authorities in an effort to safeguard future youth that attend the monastery. We all know that sexual assault perpetrated by those in authority is not a new crime. We know it happened, and we know it continues to happen in places like churches, schools, and the workplace. Between 1950 and 1980, few men were persecuted for this kind of assault because women thought this kind of assault was so normal it wasn't worth bringing to authorities. To this day, women struggle to come forward when this happens for fear that they will lose their jobs, their reputations, and even their relationships with friends and family. Yet, when I was at the monastery this week, I was a little bit surprised with just how visible the suffering that results from this type of abuse is, even though this abuse occurred 30 to 70 years ago. For the brothers of Tize, so these are the men who live full-time at the monastery, sexual assault of youth is an affront to their faith in Jesus, to their ministry with youth, but also to their vows of celibacy. What makes this monastery unique is that most of the brothers are actually my age. So these are men who are in their late 20s to early 30s. Most of these assaults occurred before they were born. Yet they must face the public's outrage. Worse still, they took vows to care for the man in the community who is still living, who can't care for himself. I don't know how you care for somebody when you have conflicting feelings about his behavior. For the youth of Tize, so these are the young people who visit the monastery every year, and they're, you know, somewhere between 15 and 25. They live in a world where sexual assault is always a crime. They live in a world where men and women are persecuted when they commit these crimes. It is unimaginable to them that a community would know about this assault for 30 years and not do anything about it until now. The youth are angry, but they're also scared. If abuse happened in this place in the past, what's to stop it from occurring now? Finally, for the adults attending Tize, so these are people who are 25 and up, we know that sexual abuse happens, and we want to extend grace and mercy where we can. But we have been entrusted to care for the safety of the youth that we bring to this monastery. Knowing that abuse has once happened at Tize, how can we, in good faith, continue to bring youth here? I brought these questions with me as I reflected on our scripture passage for this morning. I imagine that this passage from Paul's letter to the church in Rome is a familiar one to many of us. Paul's central argument is that we are being made whole through our suffering. But what does this mean? For Paul, suffering is not something we can avoid or outsmart or not deal with. All of us must pass through suffering because there exists in all of us that which must be purified by the love of God. Another important part of Paul's argument is that while we all suffer, we don't suffer in vain. Suffering produces endurance or perseverance. And for Paul, endurance is going to mean growing in the characteristics of God. In fact, he makes the argument that it is only through suffering that we can grow in the characteristics of God. So things like love, patience, generosity, compassion, and forgiveness. The character that results produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because God is more faithful than we can ever imagine. Paul's final argument is that hope is what emerges out of suffering. Hope is what we believe waits for us on the other side of terrible pain and unimaginable evil. Hope is the foundation upon which the church stands, hope in the glory of God. I believe that Paul wrote this meditation on suffering to encourage the early church not to waste their pain. If we can learn from our pain, then our pain isn't wasted. It becomes a source of life and health. But if we try to avoid it, to bury it, or ignore it, we waste an opportunity to grow in endurance. Let's take what's happening right now in the Taizé community as an example. What can we learn from their pain? I think the first thing that we learn is that we need to discuss abuse when it happens. When we ignore it, when we hide it, when we downplay it, we take away the dignity of its victims, and we compromise our own integrity in the process. The second thing we learn is that we need to acknowledge the institutional dysfunction that allows for abuse to occur. No institution, whether it is a church, a school, or a place of work, no institution has the right to violate the integrity of an individual by ignoring abuse. When I say institutional dysfunction, I mean we need to help institutions create practices that allow them to investigate abuse. These practices have to aid the institution in listening to victims and also encouraging them to come forward. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, I think we need to take a little more responsibility for one another. Too often we downplay abuse as one person behaving badly. But what if instead we got creative in how we care for one another? What if instead of telling young women not to walk home at night alone, what if we gave them our cell phone number, told them they can call us any time of day or night, and we will give them a ride home? What if instead of writing off this kind of behavior as boys will be boys, we teach our young men appropriate ways to relate to women? What if instead of assuming that a woman is lying, we listen to her and we partner with outside organizations that maybe have more resources than we do to ensure her safety? Friends, I know this is a heavy sermon, but I think it's one we need to talk about. My hope is that our time together this morning encourages you to reflect on areas in your life where you're experiencing pain, and to get a little bit curious about what you can learn from it. I am optimistic that the Taizé community will adopt better practices in the future to safeguard against sexual abuse of youth because of the pain they are currently experiencing over 30-year-old allegations. In the same way, I believe that God can use your current pain to help you grow in endurance, character, and hope. Paul's letter to the Romans isn't all doom and gloom. The good news of our scripture passage for this morning is this: life, health, even hope can come in the midst of suffering if we have the courage to learn from our pain. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I invite you to stand and join with me for our closing hymn, Standing on the Promises, number 838. friends, let me say a word of blessing as you go from this place. Remember that you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.